Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB, running it solo today, running it solo. I've been traveling once again, been out of the town, trying to do my work. If you hear me in the audioverse world out there, but you know what? We got a bonus week, got to knock something out. What's up, Cody? You take the day off, baby. I'm traveling, but I get this knocked out later. Well, I just got back in town, so it's not raining anymore. That's great. So I came back on the right day, actually. Drinking on this thing that I love, this thing that I love to call, or that they call Blue Run here. I'm about to pour me another little glass here. I'm kind of enjoying this. You know, when I first started, because I just literally just opened this. When I first started, but I had some work to do, so I've been sipping on it for like about 20, 25, 30 minutes now at this point. Actually, oh no, damn. It's already after 9, so yeah, actually 40 minutes now. All right, so yeah, so I've been sipping on this for about 40 minutes, pouring me another glass. I finally opened up this bottle of Blue Run I have yet to have, and I got lucky enough to even grab this bottle last year, so I was very thankful for that. Oh, man. Oh, I had this bomb-ass ribeye last night. It was so good, and it was cheap as hell, too. I'm talking like $49 cheap. And it was a 17 ounce, but when they cook it, it grows into a 20 ouncer. Almost 17 to 19 ounce, almost a 20 ounces, whatever. $49. That might have been the cheapest, the most delicious steak I've ever had. It was at a whiskey bar, too, of all places. Which, whiskey bars blow my mind when it comes to their pricing. So they had like Rock Hill Farms. Man, you could get that for $15 a pour. Amazing. But then they had like Colonel Taylor Small Batch. It's like $45 a pour. I was just like, wait, what? So they always blow my mind when it comes to their prices. It's like, yeah, I can tell that they don't know what they have. They're just kind of looking on the cave. So I had Rock Hill Farms and Stagg Jr. Stagg Jr. was only a pour for $20. I was like, they do know that Stagg Jr. costs more than Stagg Jr. and Rock Hill Farms cost more than the Colonel Taylor Small Batch there. And I would know because I just literally bought a bottle of it earlier this past week, or last week, because by the time you hear this, it'll be last week. This last week for 40... Actually, damn, I bought it for the same price that pour was for. So, we're wrapping up this month of February before we go into talking about our 50 or our top 10 greatest hip hop artists to celebrate the 50th anniversary of hip hop. I got next week, which is we're going to be doing two a month. My pick and Cody's pick on our prospective weeks there. And by the end of the year, we'll wrap it up with having 10 of our greatest hip hopper who kind of influenced the game. And then, and just to celebrate this 50 years of hip hop, what an incredible journey it's been on. Unfortunately, that journey has ran off a cliff and set itself on fire, committed suicide, and then changed itself into a piece of shit, basically. Sorry, I was looking at that wall back there. I was like, damn. I didn't realize it was that dark, but then I realized, oh no, that's just rain droppings. So, gonna be a quick show and get out of here because I want to go to bed. I'm kind of tired. I hate flying. I don't know if people have known that or not, but yeah, I really hate flying. Another thing I hate doing is fucking taxes. That kind of pissed me off this weekend, so. Fucking taxes. That lady told me the more you make, she said, oh, you've significantly grown from last year. Look at the difference between here. And you know what they say, the more you make, the more they got to take. It's like, so I ain't getting shit is what you telling me, huh? She said, oh, no, no, not only will you not get shit, you need to put a little more in so they don't take as much or whatever. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You know, I don't bitch as much about taxes and shit like that. Well, actually, I probably do. I hate fucking doing taxes. I wouldn't bitch about it as much as if I didn't keep passing by these goddamn signs. I'm on LA. I get an Uber ride from LA, and I'm riding, and I see these fucking signs on the freeway, especially the 405. Your tax dollars are hard at work. If you ever drove through California, and I don't give a fuck what freeway you're on, our fucking roads are shit. They have not changed since the 1980s. Actually, I might be shortchanging it. Probably is longer than that. The only thing that's changed is that more buildings have took up more lanes. So therefore, the streets are just getting smaller. The improvement, I don't even know where the fuck to begin with on that one. When I worked at Sony, the company that worked on the 405 was in that same building in the basement. And I understand why they were in that basement, because they had to hide from motherfuckers like me or whatever that was constantly cussing them out and shit like that. So they were in the basement, and I'm trying to figure out as to what in the blue fuck did they... I remember they called it Carmageddon. Carmageddon. What in the blue fuck did they do for the 405? It is a fucking shit show. But I'll tell you this right now. The 405 is fucking wonders compared to that 91. That 91, I don't give a damn what nobody says. And that's usually... The 91 don't run through L.A., so a lot of L.A. people will try to tell you that the 405 or the 101 is worse. Nah. When you live on my side of town or in Riverside or Orange County or something like that, the 91 is the worst goddamn freeway you could ever live. You could literally be a mile away from your destination on the 91. That motherfucker will take you about 43 minutes. Easily. I ride the 405 pretty much every other day. And I can tell you, as shit show as it is, at least that motherfucker moves. The 91 don't move. The 91 fucks you. The 91 fucks you so hard or whatever, it says, yeah, I know you stuck here because there ain't no streets that can get you to your destination in this area. So you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to bend you over and I'm going to stick this long yellow cone up your ass. And you're just going to have to deal with it. It'd be like Bill Cosby handing you a drink, basically. Which, by the way, I might have said this already. I read Bill Cosby's doing a motherfucking tour this year. What in the blue fuck is that man gonna talk about? I'm not gonna lie. That I really don't like people from Philly. No offense. I never liked Will Smith. I never really cared about Bill Cosby other than making fun of his ass. There's something about people from Philly that just comes off very phony. Will Smith has always been phony to me. Bill Cosby, I knew there was like some dark secret behind this motherfucker. There's something about these Philly celebrities. So never, not the people itself. The people in Philly are pretty fucking amazing, actually, whatever. But the celebrities in Philly, there's always been something just sketchy about them. They never come off as authentic as all. And if your two main celebrities from there don't tell you that, then I don't know what the hell to tell you. But I'm just curious as to what in the blue hell could that man want to talk about? And as diabolical of a scumbag he is, if that airs on TV, I'd be damned to say, I'd be lying if I said I'm not going to watch it, because I think I am, because I'm just curious to see what he the fuck he talks about. His life in prison? I'd love to hear that story. He probably was like the Don or something like that in fucking jail. But anyway, ranting on. It's 10 plus minutes. It's the end of February, end of Black History Month as we know it. It's been a great Black History Month. It's been a great 2023 so far. Well, not for the world, I guess, or whatever, but personally, I guess. February's been much better than January as far as the drinking on the last drop goes, because January just sucked ass through a straw. One of those swirly straws with multiple colors and lights on it, something you can get at Disneyland or whatever. And you're drinking a milkshake and it's so hard, so you gotta suck that shit harder. That's like getting the chocolate out your ass or whatever when you're sucking on it. That's how bad January sucked. It's drinking them goddamn seltzers. And finally getting back to the roots here of the whiskey, which next month we'll be getting into cocktails. I'm still debating on what I want to make, because I don't remember what I made last year, so I don't want to do the same thing. But I might even throw in a margarita. I'm gonna call it the JB margarita. Who knows at this point? So I'm gonna go ahead and unveil what I'm drinking here. And this might be a shocker to some people, but this company, they do amazing things. I love this company to death. I think this is the only whiskey I'm gonna be buying this year. I actually might even get another Blue Run Flight Series bottle. Not this one though. I just guess I just spoiled my bottle, so. Alright, so people, what I'm drinking on is the Blue Run Flight Series. This is bottle number 3. This got released on October 20th, if I'm not mistaken. This is Seattle Downpour. Well, I just found bottle number 4, and I think I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on that bad boy, whatever, which I think is the I'm blanking on the name of it, but it doesn't matter. So I think I'm going to pull the trigger on it. I got to tell you, unimpressed with the butterfly on this one. I'm not all, you know, it's got that, it's that silver, but it's not really shiny. It's kind of just like, a plastic toy, to be honest, realistically. I love the bottle. I love that little powder blue on there, that light blue, the white and all that. I love that, all that part. The butterfly, the butterfly kind of boring. Doesn't really stick out. But I will say, I guess it does kind of fit the tone of the flight series itself. So, I do love how their butterflies just match the name of the bottles themselves. But yeah, this is probably my least favorite butterfly. You know what I love about the Golden Rye? And that one's really grown on me. The Golden Rye, what I love about that, it's got like that, I've been in an apocalypse type butterfly and just covered with moss. So I really think that's beautiful. The Emerald, I'm looking at it right now from a distance. It's got that, it's silver and it's shining, that little green emerald color. Oh, it's so beautiful. The High Rye, that rainbow butterfly. It's fucking beautiful as hell, but this one, it doesn't stick out at all. Like, if this would have been the first one, I'd just been like, oh, that's cool. That's dope. So this has got to be my least favorite, butterfly, that I own, that I see here. Doesn't reflect, doesn't really do anything for me, per se, but we're not here to talk, well, I guess we kind of are here to talk about the butterfly itself. So, like I said, these came out in October, not that far from the Emerald Rye that I had last week. It was last week. I didn't get one. I sucked at getting these. I don't know why. I just sucked at it. And I think I know why. They only made 510 bottles of this one. So I was fortunate enough to get lucky and buy this bottle. Actually, I don't even think it was last year. I think it might have been this year, like when the year opened up. This might have been the first bottle of the year, or maybe it might have been the one I wrapped up the year with. Either one. So I was very happy to get this from a store out there in the OC. Paid retail for it, $119. Super ecstatic. Only 510 bottles. Retail was $119 on it. And I haven't opened it since. And I knew that I'd be doing a Blue Run month because I had way more bottles. I had the Emerald. I had this. And I got the Winter Collection. So two bottles there. So I knew I'd be doing a Blue Run month in there, and I popped this bad boy open, And I gotta tell you, it didn't blow my mind right off the bat. So I guess we can go ahead and start talking about the bottle itself. But after 45 minutes of drinking on it, I gotta tell you, it fucking grew on me. Now, I'm trying to wonder why it didn't impress me at first, but then I do remember, and then I looked at the bottle here, and it said bourbon whiskey. I gotta tell you, as the bourbon guy, especially over the rye guy, I think Blue Run has changed me to liking their rye more than I like bourbon. Now, the high rye bourbon, batch number one, my first ever Blue Run bottle, that's my baby right there. That is the best Blue Run I've had. Shit, I don't know. I don't even want to do a side-by-side with the Emerald and the... I think it is better than Golden Rye Batch 2, even though I love Golden Rye Batch 2. With the Emerald and the Constellation that I had. So I'm not even going to do that side-by-side, because that's just not fair. But Blue Run High Rye Bourbon, that's been my favorite. All the bottles I own, that's the favorite. Oh, man, but it's something about those damn ryes, though. I just keep going back to it. I'm looking at that Emerald. I opened that thing up last week. That thing is below the Blue Run label now. I look at that Golden Rye or whatever. That bottle is damn near empty. Now, I'm glad I get like two or three bottles usually of every Blue Run bottle I try to get. Especially like those bottles there. Flight Series, like, I was only able to get one, obviously, because it's so limited. But those, I got like three bottles of each. I don't really drink whiskey all that much at home because I'm never at home. So the times that I am home, you know, I'm usually playing games, finishing up some work, whatever the hell it may be doing like some housework or something like that, predicting the week ahead so that way I can get prepped for it and stuff like that. And when I get to play games and stuff like that, I'm usually pouring some whiskey, and those are my first two I go to. So I think why I'm not wasn't all that impressed at first with this Flight Series bourbon right here. It's because it wasn't the rye. I love Blue Run Rye now. I am addicted to their rye. I think their rye is phenomenal. They have helped in growing me into loving and appreciating ryes. Because I didn't like ryes before. I'm not a rye guy at all. I just thought there was no flavor to it. I think Blue Run, along with like Willett and Michter's, because I don't want to leave them out too, because I especially love Michter's. I think Michter's blows Willett out of the fucking water now at this point. And Blue Run is almost the same thing too as well. I put those three as my ryes there. It's like top of three ryes right there. And Blue Run, I just constantly go back to it. So I'm in love with that. And I opened this one up and I was just like, ooh. I didn't even go in the nose. I just started sipping because I was trying to watch this little diversity training video thing or whatever. And I was just sipping this going like, And at first I thought, I was like, I hope this ain't a thing of me getting bored with bourbon. And I was just like, oh no, okay. So then I just started sipping it more without even thinking about it, trying to analyze it and stuff. And then it just started to grow on me. And before you know it, now I've been sipping on this so much, it's now to the butterfly. It's amazing that I'm not fucked up or passed out from tiredness or anything like that. But, you know, I am phenomenal, so. Let's talk about it. So, I did some research on the Flight Series, like when I bought this bottle, actually. And this was the first Blue Run whiskey release that the whiskey director, I might be screwing her name up, but Shaylin Gammon, I believe, who joined the firm, joined the company about like... I actually don't even know when she joined, to be honest. Either way, does not matter. She's with the company now. She's been doing an amazing job. Award-winning blending artistry. She's been doing killing a good job. Her first release with Blue Run was the six-bottle. I think it was six bottles. Six-bottle release of the Flight Series here. I have one of them. Out of 510 bottles, I got bottle number 131 of Seattle Downpour. which is at 115.6 ABV proof, and then ABV 57.8%, and you feel every bit of it because it is hot and warm on that desert. I think what they were calling this was, because they use small number of barrels using blue runs, they call it micro batch instead of small batches. There was a very interesting article, too, that Mike has spoke on that I can't really remember, though, but I remember reading it. And Mike is the CEO of the company as well, too. I wish I could remember a lot of these things, but my brain is so all over the place because, well, I'm an alcoholic, so why wouldn't it be all over the place? But, you know, the first thing I had got, oh, not the first thing, but later on, I started getting, like, these, like this combination touch of vanilla and butterscotch candy. And I think that was what really made me start falling in love with this drink more and more. I tasted it. Those are my favorite notes on this. I love me some butterscotch. And who doesn't like vanilla? Vanilla always tastes nice and sweet and smooth on it. So I enjoyed those pour. What caught me off guard, though, was the fucking heat at the end of it. And I was kind of taken a little back by it or whatever. But then, you know, it started to grow on me and I started to enjoy that more. I thought, like, I got, like, this taste of, like, this lingering effect of, like, coffee beans and dark chocolate. I guess I should start from the beginning, actually. So, on the nose, you got, like, some raisins on the nose there. Caramel. There's some kind of, I can't tell what that fruit is. It's like some apricots on there. The only reason why I know this is because while I was out of town, the motherfucker that was sitting next to me had like an apricot LaCroix, and they gave me one. I don't drink LaCroix at all, so I just opened it to sniff it. I was like, I had the scent of apricot. First of all, I think that just sounds disgusting, by the way. Apricot sparkling water. I was like, ugh. Gross. So I got a whiff of that thing, whatever. And now I know what apricots smell like. Oh, man. You know what it reminds me to? It feels like, I bet this is a really young bourbon, and it comes off like it's an older age bourbon as well, too. If I'm not mistaken, too, I remember reading that, and I could be wrong on this. I probably should have did my research on this. But also, who worked on Blue Run Emerald, his first ever rye, Jim Rutledge, also helped Shaylin. Man, I'm probably fucking her name up all of it. Shaylin Gammon. God, I hope she corrects me if that's wrong. I think she helped, or he helped her, or a combination of one or the other, work on this batch, or these bottles. And I would say, I don't think, I wonder if this is more her input or whatever, but I was expecting more of that Four Roses type again with this when I realized that Jim worked on this. And I gotta say, that's probably what I like about it the most, is that it doesn't taste anything similar to that, something that Jim has worked on. It tastes very unique and different to its own right. Oh, that smell actually gets more heavily because it gets like a lot sweeter once you get past the initial heat of it. And then like all Blue Run products or whatever, it all just tastes perfect, or smells and tastes perfectly balanced. Oh yeah, there you go. I just took a deep inhale. You get all that apricot, raisins. It's almost like a, is that a pear? Yeah, it's like caramel. Okay, there's caramel, there's a pear, apricots, and raisins is what I'm getting on that nose. And then when I sipped it on the palate, it was like butterscotch and vanilla. Let's get another sip of that. Yeah, on the back end is where I get those coffee beans, a little bit of dark chocolate. The caramel kind of stays in the bit beginning of the palate there. Vanilla helps it like soothes and cleans off the tongue real nicely and fades away nicely to get that hint of that dark chocolate and that I almost said cocoa. Oh, you know what? Cocoa butter. Nah, I don't get the cocoa butter. The coffee beans there. Yeah. This is a damn good juice right here. It is amazing how I had like a 180 on this. And it wasn't, when I took the first sip, it wasn't like I was hating on it either or whatever. I was just like, oh, that's cool. I don't think I was blown away by it as much as I was with like the rise that I've had recently on this show. And it's just amazing how quickly a few more pours and just sitting here for 40 minutes just changed my whole opinion about the bottle itself there. I still think it's the most unimpressive butterfly on there as I stare at it. It's like staring right at me in my eyes, like looking at me right in my... Hold on, let me put it in my face. It's like you want to make out with me or something like that. You need to calm down there, bottle. You don't get any of this. I think it's still the most unimpressive one that I've seen as far as the coloring. And it just looks plastic. It looks like, you know, when you get like a replica WWF belt or UFC belt or something like that. That's what this looks like. It looks like a replica commemorative belt. And it's just like, so unimpressive. It's like the little brother of Reflection. A Reflection is just gorgeous, shiny. It's all got the palette... And then you look at this and just go like, yeah, this is what you get to give to the children. But I do love the bottle coloring with the light blue and the white and stuff like that. The butterfly just does not impress me there. The linger on that finish, that's really fucking nice. That is really fucking nice, actually. Damn. There's something else there, too. And I'm trying to get past these coffee beans. Like a roasted coffee bean, too. I can't tell if that's like... I can't tell if that's like wood. Some kind of like... Huh, hold on. There's a fruit there, too. And I can't get past this warmth. It's like a... Is that a pear? I think I said pear on the nose, so... Like subtle hints of a peach, too. Like there's like subtle hints of peaches and pears. You know, that's the thing about Blue Run. They always like... It's always something unique in there. And like when you drink on it longer, you start to find these other notes in there. That's why I think they do such an amazing job, and you know, with all their spirits that they come by, it's like it's always something you sip on long enough and you start to find more and more things to it. Always perfectly balanced. It's got the right amount of like fruits and wood and caramel and vanilla and everything like that. Okay, that's definitely a peach. It's like this peachy pear type right on the end of the finish there. You get past that. You know what? I think I said it was like, what, cocoa at the end too, whatever? Like, not like cocoa. I think I said this last night. When I was having a drink at that whiskey bar, I was like, is that honey or syrup? And the guys were just, they kind of just looked at me or whatever, and like, I thought they didn't want to tell me what it was or whatever because they were talking about we use our own ingredients for the cocktails and stuff we make or whatever. And I told them I don't really like old fashions because people make them like shit. But they made me one and said, just try it out for free. Try it out, please. Just try it out. And I was just like, all right. And I just couldn't tell in the end. I was like, is that honey or syrup? I think I'm having the same issue here right now. And I can't tell. But I can know that's peach and pear for sure. And I can't tell if that's a honey or like a maple syrup type. I think it's honey, but I could be wrong. Shit, it might be both. Oh, shit. Actually, it might be both the more I sip on it. Or maybe it's because the honey, as I taste it on the tip of the tongue, like, it starts to spread because of the vanilla there. And, like, I'm getting the full impact of it on the finish. I can't even really tell now. I just know that I'm enjoying this a lot. It's really smooth, and honestly, I feel like smoking a cigar with Sasha right now. Former Laker player. Not one of your fucking Cubans, though, that fucking choked me out to death and shit. Not one of them strong, bro. I need one of them smooth Cubans. He gave me one of these fucking Cubans that made me look like a punk. I ain't gonna lie. Everybody else, fucking, some of them were younger than me, whatever. They were smoking those things fine. I took a hit of that fucking dark Cuban, whatever it was called, that they had and shit. That shit almost fucking... I was trying to have a conversation. I was like, you know, talking like that motherfucker from Men in Black. So, you want me to put my hands like this? Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna drop a 3.5 on this. This isn't last drop territory for me, just because I think the rise, and I shouldn't even be making the comparison, I think the rise just are just fucking incredible. And I was originally gonna go 3 on this, because it didn't make in my first sip, it didn't make me want to go back onto it. And then I looked at the bottle and said, clearly it did make me want to go back to it. Shout out to Blue Run for consistently making the bourbon just as interesting as the rye. I'm loving this, like, honey-infusedness I'm getting at the end now. This finish is, like, got this long, medium length to where it lingers around. And you get, like, a little bit of aftertaste on it as far as getting, that peach and that pear, the dark chocolate, some coffee beans on there. The palate just stays consistent with the vanilla and, what did I say? It was a vanilla and, oh, now I gotta take another sip. Honey and butterscotch. There you go. Oh, not honey, but vanilla and butterscotch. Sorry. Vanilla and butterscotch. I love that butterscotch taste or whatever. I mean, if you're going to have one thing in my whiskey, I usually go for two, but I usually settle for one or the other. Cherries or butterscotch? Yeah, well, you got a winner for me. Price is on point. Blue Run's price is never too outrageous. I mean, this is $119. I think that's a pretty solid bang for your buck what you're getting here. It's got that nice finish on there. The palate is great. And so, yeah, I'm dropping a 3.5 on it. And, oh, my God, I've been going for 32 goddamn minutes. I was supposed to only go 15. Okay, well, either way, you got a very long episode, I guess, in some aspects or another on the JB show here. I think, you know what, man? Yeah, if JoJo wasn't working, she'd have been on in this episode or whatever, but she usually works on this day now, so out there, a little girl out there doing her career and stuff, so it's supposed to be the JB and JoJo show, but I guess right now I kicked it back old school with a JB show, the JB show. So, Cody will be back next week, though, for Cocktail Month, and when we start our 50 greatest, or celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip-hop with our top 10 hip-hop artists of all time. I think we already know who mine is, so I'm just kicking off the bat with number one, so I'm not even going to waste any time on that one, and he's been the forefront of the whole 50th anniversary of hip-hop, so looking forward to talking about that. I'm going to get out of here now, because I want to go shower and go to bed, to be honest. So, thank you for tuning in this week. I hope you enjoyed this Blue Run review. It's kind of all over the place, whatever, but, you know, Blue Run does that to a brother. It fucks with your mind. Psychologically, fucks with you, has you thinking, has you doing things you shouldn't be doing when you're drinking, because, wait, that rhymed. Ooh, should have saved that for next week. Ooh, yeah, that didn't sound good. That sound better. Shut up, ESPN. Anyway, wrapping this show up, like I said, thank you for all that tuned in. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB, and like we always say, livers will never be the same, and glasses will never be dry, because your balls will thank us.